from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Cooper Boardman, on WEEI.
All right, let's do it. Back to it. Red Sox Review. Another night. Tonight, a loss against Kansas City Royals. This is a much different feel with this music behind me the last two nights. You know, Monday came in hot. 18 hits. Last night, you win again. Came in hot. We're still coming in hot. Just a little bit different. Cooper Boardman with you. Nico Manganiello inside the glass right over there. Man, you know, it would have been awesome to get three, right? I'm feeling what you're feeling, right? I would have been great to get three. The positive spin, and it is the reality of the way that Alex Cora, I'm sure when we hear from him in a second, will characterize this, which is we're not happy we lost tonight, but the Red Sox did in this series the minimum of what they had to do. They had to win two games. Again, season wouldn't have been over, but it kind of felt that way in a lot of ways just in terms of staying in the race. The Red Sox, with two wins in this series, guarantee that if they tie the Royals at the end of the year record-wise, they win the tiebreaker if it's those two teams. They could have gone to bed and gotten on this plane tonight back to Boston and getting ready for the Houston Astros with the third and final playoff spot in hand. Instead, it's a game and a half. It's two games behind Minnesota for the second spot. But there is life based on what they did, and that's important to remember. That's the 50,000-foot view. You land the plane, though, and you look around at Cutter Crawford, and there's a lot of wreckage. And he struggles again tonight, and it's a little bit different. The theme is slightly different than what we saw in the previous three starts. And again, Cutter, and not that you don't know this because you have lived it too, I'll make you hear it just one more time, went to L.A. and gave up six. Came home against Fenway at Fenway against the Yankees and gave up five. And then went to Texas and gave up five. And now goes to Kansas City and gives up six. And all of a sudden, that ERA, which was well in the low threes four starts ago, has gone way up there to 4.11. And the Red Sox have, of course, been in a situation that outside of that game in Texas where they put up a million runs, lost three of those four starts. And that's the truth. And that's the reality. He is not only blowing up, he's blowing up in ways that can't be salvaged, in the way that Brian Bello did in June. And I do think, and he did not throw enough strikes tonight. He was below league average in strike rate at 62.5%. He walks four men. Not only did he walk four guys, which is never good
it was worse because of when he walked them, including walking Michael Massey, including walking the nine hitter. He walked Massey ahead of Bobby Witt Jr., which obviously he's not trying to do in what was a tight zone. But Nico, I am starting to, you know, we had a caller last night asking about, hey, are you going to skip some guys? And I got to be honest, at the time I said, yeah, I think they'll probably do that for Tanner Houck. And I thought maybe they would do it for Nick Pivetta. Alex Cora announced before the game that they're going to do that with Pivetta right now because of the way that he's physically bounced back and the way that his metrics graded out. But I'm hard pressed to believe that they're going to find a way. They have to skip him at a certain point. Maybe it's not right now, but at some point in the next couple of weeks, I think you've got to give him twice the amount of time that he's gotten, if nothing else, to have time to figure this out right now.
Oh, 100%. And honestly, Cooper, it's starting to feel at the point with their starting pitching, every guy in their rotation may need to be skipped soon. Everyone seems to have a problem. It's falling apart at the seams here. And that's what's hurting this team. The offense has really come alive here in the second part of this season. They're performing well offensively. That's not why they're losing games. I think the bullpen has been okay. Has been great. Jansen's been playing very well, but it's getting to that point that's killing them right now. And who knows, maybe we were talking about this before the show. They brought in James Paxton. He's going to be a guy that has to give them some innings just to give these guys a rest and to be able to figure out what is going wrong.
Yeah, no doubt. Red Sox Review live with you, Cooper Boardman. Nico Manganiello's inside the glass. 617-779-7937. 617-779-7937. Text line at 37937. Get to your call in just a sec. I also think, too, the Red Sox have created enough depth for themselves by getting Paxton from the Dodgers. You can't snap your fingers and have Josh Winkowski make a start for five plus innings tomorrow or Cooper Criswell tomorrow. But I don't think it would take that long to build them up there. I could argue that Criswell could maybe go do it right now. And I think the Red Sox, not that they wanted this to happen, not that they, you know, you hope it doesn't happen, but they did plan for it. There's a reason why they sent Winkowski down in June and July. There's a reason why Criswell got sent down in July and when Winkowski was recalled and they left him down there. And it was in part because they needed to know that if something happened injury-wise or if they needed to skip a start as they did with Brian Baio in July or leading into July, they could do it. And so I think you're in a situation, I know you got to get these games, but I would argue your best chance to win right now is skipping some of these guys. And I think you're seeing it right now with Nick Pivetta. They're doing it with him. The next guy to do it is Cutter Crawford. The next guy to do it is Tanner Houck. And there's value in it. And it is a little scary because it puts a lot of pressure on a guy like Brian Baio, who is kind of been a, well, what is this kind of question mark? All right, 617-779-7937, Red Sox Review live with you. And we will open up the phone lines tonight and go to Glenn. Glenn in New Orleans, welcome to Red Sox Review again.
Hey there, Cooper. You had said that Witt beat us, and while he did, Crawford really beat himself, and you mentioned it, all of the walks at the most inopportune times. As a matter of fact, all four walks scored, and one of the walks scored because he walked the second batter that inning, which pushed the guy over to second where the single scored him. So, you know, they're saying on TV, he's got to throw a pitch, his best pitch, the one he knows he can throw for a strike. And he must not be doing it, or he just can't throw a strike when he has to. But the one thing that that worries me as far as the Sox go, the teams that they're fighting against to get this last wild card spot or second to last wild card spot, to me, they all have two better starting pitchers, and in some cases three, better than anything we have. Like, I know we took the series from Kansas City, but their front three starters, and two of which we beat, those three guys are better than anybody we have, Reagans, Lugo, and Singer.
Yeah.
Minnesota's got who, like Lopez and Ryan. I'm missing somebody.
Yeah, Bailey Ober has thrown the ball well for them.
Yeah, Framber's rounding into shape. Just missed a no-hitter the other night. I think we get him Sunday probably. So, and it's going to be tough the way that starting pitching situation is going, because they can't keep going with these, you know, 3 2/3, 4 1/3, and expect the bullpen, which is already on shaky ground, to hold up much longer. So
yeah,
it's tough.
I think that's well said, and glad to appreciate the call. And I agree with everything you said there. Seriously, I mean, you know, you look around at what, you know, the Royals have, and again, to your point, like the Red Sox beat them, and you know, the one thing I will say is this: the Red Sox have a better offense than any of those teams right now, and they have been a better offense than any of those teams. And I think as we sit here right now on August 7th, I think what we look at and say is, the Red Sox will hit their way to the playoffs, or they won't make the playoffs. And that's a very, very, very scary way to live. And you know this. And the Twins have, you know, two guys up top. Lopez hasn't had the best year, but he's pitching better. Joe Ryan is good. Singer, Reagans, and Seth Lugo, I would take as my three on my team any single day. What happened to them this week is more about the Red Sox. They are blips for them. And honestly, you know what, Glenn? What I look at here, and I remember sitting here when Brian Bay was really struggling in the month of June. And I'm not saying he's been unbelievable, but he has been far better. I know he was 4 2/3 of 3-run ball. I'm not like standing here and dancing on that last night. But if you look at what he's done over his last 3-4 starts in terms of some of the pitch usages and in terms of some of the ways that he's attacked guys, he's seen the Dodgers and the Yankees, two of the better lineups as of right now over the last few weeks in baseball. You know, he's gotten better, and they've found ways to work with him. And what they did is they skipped a start heading into Miami, and then coming out of that, they were able to stem the tide. And he has been able to give them a little bit more length. He gave them 6 1/3 at home against KC. He gave them 6 innings against the Dodgers. He gave them 6 1/3 against the Mariners. These are not overwhelming numbers. He has not been ace-level stuff. We know this, but they gave him an extra, you know, they gave him the skip. He comes back, and he has been a much better pitcher. Not that the bar was that high, but a much better pitcher than he was from before they skipped him. And Glenn, I think what you're going to see here, and you already saw it with the announcement before the game today with Nick Pivetta, is that they're going to skip guys. And you're seeing this with Andrew Bailey, because they believe, and they should, because of some of the work that they've done and because of some of the results that they got, especially early in the season. I think they believe, I'm not going to put words in their mouth, but I really do think they think that if they can get more time with guys, they can fix stuff on the fly. And Cutter Crawford, no question, is in that spot. What's scary to me about Cutter is this, and David, or Glenn, you made the point that, you know, Crawford kind of beat himself, right? The walks at inopportune times, and they talked about he's got to, in this spot, throw the pitch that he knows he can throw for a strike. Well, here's the issue, and I'm going to walk you through his pitches right now. He's got a four-seam fastball that, you know, velocity-wise is not overwhelming. It's got very good spin on it. It is deceptive, but it's not a pitch that, it's his main pitch. It's the pitch he's going to throw the most on any given night. You know, tonight he goes out there and throws it basically at the exact same rate of usage that he did over the course of the year. And, you know, that for him is right around 40% of the time. So he's going to throw that four-seam fastball 40% of the time. Well, he's getting crushed on it. The slug on this over the last four games is 800. He's given up 5 home runs on it. He doesn't give up a home run on it. And so that's the first pitch, right? And it's getting crushed. And I would say that in part, I don't think the pitch is decidedly worse. I think everything else is. His cutter, which he throws to left-handed hitters. He does throw it to righties. We saw one to Witt to get ahead 0-2 in that at-bat where he took it down the line, is also getting crushed. Guys are hitting 471 against that cutter in this span. All right, let's go to the third one. Sweeper. And I thought you saw tonight some really good sweeper usage. I know it's the sweeper that Bobby Witt hits out early in the game, but that pitch has been great. I think where you sit and you start to have some trouble is the next two pitches, the splitter and the knuckle curve, neither of which he really uses. He does not have a strikeout in his last four starts on either of those two pitches, which are strikeout pitches. He got some swing and misses on the splitter, but Anyway, Glenn, this is a very long-winded way of saying Cutter Crawford is in a situation right now where it doesn't seem like watching him, and the numbers back this up, that he's got a lot of places to go, that he has a lot of pitches that he feels comfortable in. You know, he is throwing that four-seam fastball, which has been his bread and butter. He's a fly ball pitcher. You're going to give up home runs that way. But you're between a rock and a hard place as a fly ball pitcher when you're sitting there and you don't feel good about your cutter to left-handers. You don't feel good about your splitter and your knuckle curve, which are pitches that should theoretically, you know, get left-handed hitters out. Knuckle curve theoretically can go to both sides of the plate. And when those two pitches are not doing anything, I don't know how you throw enough four-seam fastballs to get through a lineup two times, honestly. And you saw it tonight, and you saw him run out of answers against Bobby Witt, right? He goes up 0-2 on Bobby Witt in that fourth inning. He gets ahead 0-2. I think he went cutter and then four-seam fastball. I'll double-check that in just 1 second. Or no, he got a swing and a miss. He went cutter and splitter. And so you're sitting there and saying, all right, well, I'm on my third pitch. He could have doubled up on the splitter. He went four-seam fastball. The pitch is 3 inches above the zone, but because Cutter has been such a one-trick pony in these four starts, and particularly tonight, he threw him a fastball, and Bobby Witt is not going to miss a fastball no matter where it is in that situation and that swing. Again, the walk set it up, but that swing to me is the difference in the game.
Well, right now it's not just Bobby Witt who's not going to miss the fastball. It's literally anybody who stepped into the plate. I mean, 13 home runs in your last four games is a massive issue.
Yeah.
Like this guy, like you said, has to be the next guy they skip in a start because this has to get figured out. And then after Crawford, I would say Tanner Houck is the next guy to skip because that's a guy you need to rely on to win games. He needs to be the ace of this staff like he was prior to the All-Star break. But since coming back from the All-Star break, he's been a mess too.
I agree. And I think, you know, with Houck, to me, Houck, needs to skip the third of Pivetta. If we're listing it out right, Pivetta, which is already happening, Crawford now, and then Houck. But that doesn't mean he doesn't need a skip, right? And I think with him, it's more physical. Like the stuff has gone down in quality. For me, with Crawford, it's about execution, and there's something in the process there. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend what I know what it's like to stand on the mound and be a major league pitcher, but I can read the metrics and I can get into it, and you can see that it's different and his location is different. That's really what's different, and stuff's getting hammered, and that's what happened in that first inning. The other number I'll point you to on Cutter tonight is, okay, we talk about the walks. Well, he threw fewer strikes percentage-wise than he usually does. He was right around 63%, which is major league average. He's usually above that. Tonight he wasn't, and he walked guys. But I'm just talking about on a pitch-to-pitch basis, not the walks. It's not like he was well below league average in couldn't find the zone all night long of what was a tight zone. But his first 30 pitches, he goes through that lineup and strikes out three. Three of the first 30 pitches that he throws, he's got 3 Ks. Well, then he threw 55 more pitches. He didn't strike out a single guy. He did not get swing and miss. He got 2 strikes a number of times. Again, that Bobby Witt at bat comes to mind where he gets 0-2, and he doesn't strike anybody out. And that is, again, when you dive into the arsenal and you look at the four-seam fastball, okay, that's great. You know, that pitch is that pitch. But then he has very little else to go to. He has a sweeper again, I would love to see more than it's being used, honestly. But he has a sweeper tonight that he goes to just around 20% of the time. So it's not like he didn't use it. And he throws 10 strikes with it. He gets 1 swing and miss. But even that, like, it's not this overwhelming pitch. He has this great fastball, and the numbers on the fastball metric-wise stand up. Like, they're still good. It's, to me, it's about everything else. And you can have that conversation both ways. You can say, well, if fastball isn't dominant, that other stuff doesn't play. But I think it's more about the other stuff causing the fastball not to play. Because he's still locating it pretty well. He's still throwing it at the top of the zone the way he's had so much success with, especially early in the outing. But he just didn't have a lot to put guys away, and he's not striking enough guys out, and especially as the outing goes along. And we can say all of these different things about what the numbers say and all of that. But Nico, like, you sit there and watch him, and like, you're nervous as the at-bats go along, right? I mean, I sit there and I watched him tonight, and of course, the last few days or last few starts make me feel this way, but I do sit there and watch him and say, how's he going to get this guy out right now? And I'm not sure. I'm not him. Well, but I'm not sure he has those answers.
That's the thing. It doesn't feel like he has enough in his arsenal right now. Like you say, outside that four-seam fastball, you don't feel about this guy good about him throwing anything else other than that. And you can't keep going through a lineup with just a four-seam fastball as your only pitch that you can count on. Eventually, guys are going to start hitting that. So I think, like we said, he needs to sit out a start, be skipped. But the other thing is, we do have to tamper expectations. Like, this guy's a back-end rotation starter for a reason. He doesn't have a ton in his arsenal. He can perfect some stuff here and there, but it's not going to get a ton better. So this isn't going to be the guy you're relying on to win a lot of games down the stretch, but he does need to be able to keep him in games a little better than he is doing right now.
Yeah, I think he can't blow up, right?
Like, yeah, that's all you're asking for.
He's had four starts, and I know they won one of them, but he's had four starts where they really can't win those games. And that's where you're living right now. And again, like, he has five pitches. It's not like he doesn't have things in his arsenal theoretically to hit on PitchCom, right? Like, but it's a situation right now where those pitches, you know, there's a depth of the arsenal, but not quality of the arsenal. And that's where he's at. And I'm fascinated, though, because I'm interested in, you know, what we see, you know, from Andrew Bailey. And what do you do? I sat here and said, and again, this is Red Sox Review Live with you. It's 617-779-7937, 617-779-7937, text line at 37937. We'll get to your text in just a second here. We sat here and said in these chairs when Brian Baio was going through his thing, the number one big shining light deal for Andrew Bailey over the next, at that point, month or so, was to fix Brian Baio. And that wasn't turn him into what Tanner Houck early, you know, was early in the year, but it was to make it a guy that every 5 days, you know, he goes out there and it's manageable. And I think that, coupled with the mental skills side of things, I think you have seen, and just talking with people, a better and different version of Brian Baio than the guy that was, you know, frankly, having a little bit of a tantrum on the mound a month ago. You're seeing a calmer guy, a guy who smiles, and a guy that is pitching better and differently than he was. And again, it's not unbelievable, but it's different. And they need to find a way, not that I think Cutter Crawford is in the same emotional state that Brian Baio was in at that point, but they're going to need to sit down and figure this out. It's that simple. All right, Red Sox Review Live with you, 617-779-7937. Alex Cora is standing by, so let's get you there. Talking tonight in Kansas City, the manager of the Boston Red Sox after an 8-4 loss in the finale against the Royals.
Walks seem to have hurt tonight.
Just looking at it, yeah. Four walks, something he doesn't do, and then the last two hitters, yeah, an 0-2, right? Yeah, with 0-2, hits double down the line, had the leadoff hitter 0-2. He wasn't able to put him away. Great at-bat by Melendez to start off the inning, 50-50 pitch. Right there, it was called a ball, and we weren't able to stop it.
He does a pretty good job getting to two strikes, but he's been having trouble getting that third.
Yeah, we talk about it. I think he's second in the league getting to 0-2 counts, but we haven't been able to put him away. The fastball that Witt hit was up in the zone. He stayed with it, went the other way. You know, there were some good at-bats. They kept fouling off pitches, and you know, they did a good job against him.
With the homers that Crawford has given up, that maybe he's nibbling a little bit.
I mean, that one today, you tip your hat. Right. That was, he aced that pitch.
No, I didn't mean giving up the homers. I mean the walks that he's not,
you know what?
He's trying to stay out of the
middle. I got you. I talked to Tech about it, and you know, he was 0-2. He was 0-2 a lot, you know, so the Melendez at bat was a good one. The leadoff hitter, he did a good job, you know. So it wasn't like non-competitive bats, you know. He battled. The stuff was good. It just, that 0-2 pitch at the end to Witt, you know, he stayed with the pitch and hit the double.
You guys had kind of limited Witt's damage the first couple of games, but he got you on the third one.
Yeah, sweeper outside, hooked it down the line, the sinker. it was supposed to be away. It was right in the middle. And then, obviously, the 0-2 pitch with two strikes, he put it in play. Yeah, that kid is special. He's special. The way he conducts himself, the way he plays the game, it's a joy, you know, from our dugout. I hate it, but I love it, you know. And he's so polite, and you know, I think the game is in good hands, man. This kid, when he starts walking, I don't know what's going to happen because he's a force right now, kind of like Judge early in his career, right? Like he was hitting, but he wasn't walking. He was expanding. This kid is going to be something special. He is already.
Do you think the innings are catching up with Cutter and even Tanner to some extent?
I don't believe so. I think they're good. We've been able to take care of them. The stuff is really good. The assessments in the training room is still good, so we just got to make pitches.
Say, you know, Nick's going to skip his next start. Those two guys are struggling a bit. Like, where do you think the rotation is right now?
We're in a good place. I mean, we're winning games, and the bullpen is good. So just execute pitches and just keep going.
Chase to get Chris Martin back. How good to get that first one under his belt?
That was good stuff. Really good stuff. Wing threw the ball well. So the bullpen is getting closer. We're still missing one, but the guys that we have, they're really good at what they do. They're versatile, so we should be okay.
Rehab's overrated, apparently. I said rehab is overrated, apparently.
I mean, he's 38, man. He's a veteran.
What overall on the trip, you pick up a game in the standings, you have a winning record on the trip, you win two series. What's your takeaway?
That we can hit. You know, he's one of the best, too. And we put pressure on him. We hit the ball out of the ballpark. We were probably one pitch away from getting him out. We played well. You win two series on the road. Now you go home, and we got to take care of business.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Alex Cora, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, speaking tonight after a loss in Kansas City again. Final score of 8-4. Sox win the trip, they win the series, but they lose in the finale, and they will go to bed tonight or get on the plane tonight from Kansas City to Boston and get ready for three games with Houston, a game and a half out of the third and final wild card spot. Last little bits with Nico Manganiello inside the glass, Cooper Boardman here. You want to hit this text? We were both laughing at it. It's pretty good. Green Day played at Fenway tonight. What's your Green Day song that describes the Sox season so far? I'll give you the floor first.
So for me, it's going to be Wake Me Up When September Ends, because I believe that's when the collapse will start for the Red Sox.
Oh.
I think that it just feels like that's where the seasons go ahead. With the starting pitching right now, it's all bursting at the seams. The offense is playing well. I think they can hang in it throughout this month. But by the time September starts, I think it's all going to blow up. And I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was in past years, where, you know, they finish, you know, what is it, like 10 games out of the wild card? Like, they're going to be 5 games out, but it's going to be a bad collapse at the end of the season compared to what they've given us to this point.
You're just cooking them.
Yeah, I just don't feel great about their chances at this point. I don't think they did enough at the deadline. They made moves around the edges, but at the end of the day, they needed to bring in a legit starter. I understand they couldn't afford the price because it was going to be their top prospects. But you know what? Had they invested in this team in the offseason, like I thought they should have, they wouldn't have had to give up a top prospect. Like, they should have got their pitcher this offseason. They didn't. It's going to be time for this ownership group in this next offseason coming up to actually invest, because this team on the field this year deserved to be invested in. They didn't get a full investment yet. They better get one this offseason, or else I've been done with this Red Sox ownership, but I'm going to be really done with them, like, because this team has suckered me back in to, like, believe in a little bit.
As they should.
But I just know that it's not going to end well.
All right, I'm going to go a little more positive. Just slight. It's actually not even that positive. I'm going with Know Your Enemy, which is, for whatever reason, the first Green Day song that always pops into my head.
It's a great song.
Great song. Hit that on the way home. Know Your Enemy, because, and I think the only enemy to the Red Sox right now, and this is more positive than what you said, is themselves. And it will be up to Andrew Belly to know, to figure out what is up with Cutter Crawford, to figure out what they can do with Nick Pivetta over the course of the next couple of weeks, and what they can do with Tanner Houck. And if they can figure that out, I think they're a playoff team. And if they can't figure it out, they're going to run out of gas the way that you said. I trust him to do it. We'll find. There's only one way to find out, though, and it comes beginning again on Friday.
Well, even if they do run out of gas, like, Andrew Bailey deserves credit for what he's done this year.
Yeah.
Because I never expected their pitching staff to be as good as it has been throughout this, you know, first half of the season now, a little past the first half of the season. Like, he's done an excellent job with them, but at some point, you are what you are. So I don't think he can continue to coach up this talent further than he has.
I think that's reasonable, and I think, you know, you look at the Red Sox, and they're essentially middle of the pack in ERA. The one place that I think will turn, I really do believe this, and there are varying metrics that go against each other. Some would say that the Red Sox bullpen is what it is. I choose to look at the ones that believe they're better than what they have been. Bullpens are incredibly volatile. My take right now at 11:45 on Wednesday, August the 7th, is that at some point in the next 3 weeks, you're going to look up and say, wow, the bullpen's put together a pretty good few weeks. Chris Martin coming back will help with that. I think that. We'll find out if I'm wrong, though. I'll be interested. I'm back on Monday, so yeah, we could check in then. We gave you Alex Cora earlier tonight from the Nissan postgame show. You deserve a car that thrills you. Nissan's got an exciting line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. That's it. All right. Tough to lose this one. It really is, but, you know, you win the road trip. You're going to go back to Fenway Park Friday night, Houston Astros, Red Sox Astros, game and a half out of a playoff spot. Take it. A lot of time, a lot of big games to go. Take your breaths, sleep good. Take your day off tomorrow. We'll get back to you on Friday night. 6:10 on the MassMutual Red Sox pregame show. 7:10 first pitch. I got a little time here. I'll see you on Monday, though, for the Rangers series. Joe Wild's got you held down until then. But big thanks, of course, to Nico Manganiello inside the glass. I'm Cooper Boardman. We'll talk to you soon on Red Sox Review right here on WEEI.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.